You are listening to Build, Excite, Equip, easy change management for project teams. I am your host, Nicola Graham, coming to you as a business change manager, entrepreneur, and author. As well as discussing top tips and tricks for project teams to use to improve your project adoptions. Let's get started. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the second episode of my podcast. This is Nicola Graham, and I am really excited to be here with you today. So I must admit, I just released my last podcast yesterday, and we've had some really incredible downloads. So clearly that went down very well, and I'm really grateful for all of the reach outs that I've had from everyone, obviously congratulating me along the journey. So moving on from that, I really wanted to start talking about my top tips and tricks. And as I promised you in the last one, I wanted to give you some real life experiences. So where to begin? I actually would like to tell you a story. I quite like a good storytelling from time to time. I was fortunate enough to be in Madrid recently, and I was hanging out with one of my good friends who is an IT project manager, a female one, I will add. I'm going to throw that one in there because I'm obviously chuffed whenever we find an IT project manager who is female these days. We were having a real, you know, chat about what I've been doing and the methodology and why I created it. And I did not even finish my sentence before she said, "Oh my word, yep, I've got this, Nick. I've completely got it. Where can I do your training? Let's get on this." Because I have literally just had a situation where I've gone through almost the entire project, and I've tripped up on the last step because I assumed that my key stakeholder was engaged in the project. And it turns out they never were. It turns out that they were actually really negative towards my project. So now I've gone through all of this. I thought I've designed the tool that I was creating for her a certain way, and as it's transpired, she wants nothing to do with it, and she's not advocating it for me. And immediately, I don't know what to do. I'm obviously in one hand, I'm having to rectify this, and it's creating a lot more problems to the time and the cost of my project. But actually, what I've learned immediately from that is, had I been a little bit more observant with the way that she was in the earlier days of the project, I may have been able to mitigate this completely. And at that point, I said, well, actually, this is one of the things that we talk about in the Build, Excite, Equip model. And I'm gonna read actually from my book, because obviously that got me flicking through my book again. And it got me talking about actually people within a project and how crucial they are. So obviously I talk about neuroscience, and neuroscience of change is really important. And everyone in an organization will have an individual experience of the business change. And essentially people get fearful of something. And it could be as obvious as they're fearful that this change is going to make a difference to their job, that they might even lose their job. Okay, so loads of people are going to start having a induced fear of loss. They're going to start thinking that something that you're providing is actually threatening to them. So how can we in projects prevent that from happening? How can we understand if actually the business really are truly engaged, or whether they're just telling you what you need to hear, or maybe they're not even engaging with you, full stop? What can you do about that? So one of the exercises that we have in the Build, Excite, Equip model is what we call a key stakeholder engagement evaluation. So essentially what that means is that we recommend that you send out a questionnaire, or you interview people, depends on the structure of your project teams. I like to pretty much send out the questionnaire. I make it nice for people to fill out in their own time so that they can come back with that honesty. But we focus on five different areas of questions, and the questions are around the project knowledge. So do your key stakeholders already know about the objectives and the aims of your project? And they're going to go ahead and score that on a basis of, say, 1 to 5, 1 to 10, however you may choose. We then ask some questions related to time available for the project. So how much realistically can your key stakeholders give to your project. You may be in a situation where somebody has been appointed as a key stakeholder in your project, and you know what? They are already over capacity. I have had that experience so many times myself where, you know, somebody ends up getting burnt out because they've been applied this additional pressure and they don't have the safe space or the ability or the strength to actually say, no, stop, I can't do this project. And essentially, if they aren't saying, no, I don't have the time for this, or you need to give me some support through this, then it will always impact your project. The other question that we always talk about in the stakeholder engagement evaluation is communication preferences. So some people, they would much prefer an email from you from time to time. Others would love a chat over a cup of coffee. So understanding exactly how you can start to engage with your key stakeholders in their way is crucial. Again, I have had experiences with some stakeholders who always said, you know what, Nick, I'd like you to book in a Tuesday, 11 o'clock, because that's my thinking time. I have always go and get my cup of coffee. Come and meet me for the cup of coffee and you can give me those updates. You can ask me what you need from me. And I have some people who go, I'm back to back in meetings. But I tell you what, if you pop an email to me, then I will help you there. I've also had a director before call me on his way to the airport on a Friday. So he used to commute into London and then he would drive back up, jump on a plane and fly off to some beautiful hot country. And he used to always call me on a Friday afternoon. So I would be prepared to receive that telephone call from him. But I needed to know that. I needed to know that before I started to engage with these people. And then the final part, the final questions that we talk about is project alignment. So one of the project alignment focuses on if somebody believes that it's going to be strategically aligned with existing processes, do they think that the project will be managed well into those processes? Is it going to benefit them? And then the final question is the perceived project importance. Is it linked to their objectives? If you have a key stakeholder who has an objective in their own personal KPIs or OKRs where they need to improve the capacity of their team, they need to improve the morale of the team, anything like that, they're going to be more ambitious and driven and willing to help if it's something that's going to essentially benefit them. We talk in the book about what's in it for me. This is a what's in it for me. Is it going to be important to them? So those are the questions. We always have templates. We actually have some on our website that you can download. What you do is you then transfer those questions across all of your stakeholders and you overlay them. So, for example, you may have 10 key stakeholders. You can give every different key stakeholder a color code and then you can overlay them and you can start to see patterns in their responses. And it might be, for example, that actually no one has project knowledge. No one within your key stakeholders has project knowledge of what's going on. That's something that you can resolve really quickly. How? You can arrange any kind of meeting with them. You can literally get them in a room together and say, guys, I am the project manager. I am here to deliver this. This is why we're doing it. These are the benefits to you. This is what I need from you. And you can make immediate changes to how engaged that they are within your project. And then if you wanted to go a step further, what I also talk about is then overlaying that into your organizational chart. So I actually like to color code people when I do this. I will have an organizational chart and everyone will get a rag color. For those who may not be familiar, rag colors, red, amber, and green. And I say that because of all of the international companies I've worked for. It's a very UK thing and I'm probably American to say rag, but rag obviously is a red, amber, and green. It's a traffic light system. And then what we do is we acknowledge the different stakeholders and whether we consider them to be red, as in they are not engaged, they are not willing to assist with this project, whether they're amber, that means they might be sitting on the fence a little bit, or they're green, they are go ho, let's get this going, I'm really, really involved. And if you start to plot those different stakeholders' colours into the hierarchical organizational chart, something magical happens. You begin to see where your blockers are. For example, it might be that your general manager is actually red. They are not engaged. They are not interested. And going back to my example with my friend, this would be her situation. That person was not engaged. They were not willing or eager or even ready or even had the time to help her. And had she known back then that they were a red, she could have tackled them differently. And by engaging and communicating and nurturing that relationship, she would have been able to very quickly, early on in her project, change that person from a red to an amber or even better, a green. And then what you tend to see is that the communication will then extrapolate between people. So it might be that you then have an entire department that it goes from a red to a green because you have engaged the right person. And there's something I really want to stress at this point. Please don't ever think that this is hierarchical. It may not be that higher general manager, director that you actually need to engage with correctly. It might be a middle tier person who can engage up and they can engage down. So just take a look at those different colors and try to assess how you can strategically engage the right person. Because one engaged person could make 5, 10, depending on how big your company is, it could make a massive change to the advocacy that you need to make sure that your project is successful. So I'm really pleased I had that chat with her, and I was relieved that we could relate it to something that was really relatable and true life to her project. And obviously since then, it's been a case of welcoming her to also align that with the course that we do. So if that resonates with you, if it's something that you feel that you could learn from, then this is what we do in the Build Excite Equip model. We train you in a simple way so that it makes sense for you, that you have those templates that you need. And voila, let's start getting those projects a lot more adopted and engaged by the people and supported by the people, because there are just a few tips and tricks like that that you truly can do and engage your business people. So I hope that helped you today. Don't forget, obviously, I'm doing lots of these tips and tricks. Make sure that you follow my podcast. I'm on Spotify, Apple, and Podbean. And also, guys, we've got LinkedIn, Be Change Limited. I'm Nicola Graham. Do link in with me. I love to hear your questions, because if you can bring a question to me, I can make that relatable into my own experiences as well. So until the next time, have a wonderful day, have a wonderful week, and I'll see you again.